Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown. I'm Alex, and I'm here with my co-host Jordan to dive into AbbVie's first quarter 2026 results.
Hey everyone, before we jump in, we need to mention that this podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Absolutely. Now, Jordan, AbbVie just delivered what I'd call a knockout quarter. They beat expectations across the board and raised guidance. What stood out to you first?
The numbers are impressive, Alex. They hit $2.65 in adjusted earnings per share, which was 7 cents above their guidance midpoint. But what really caught my eye was that revenue growth, 12.4% to $15 billion. Beating expectations by $300 million. That's some serious momentum.
And they're not just celebrating, they're doubling down. They raised their full-year EPS guidance by 12 cents to between $14.08 and $14.28. What's driving this confidence?
Two words, Skyrizi and immunology. Skyrizi alone pulled in $4.5 billion in sales, up over 29% operationally. CEO Robert Michael specifically called out the momentum in immunology and neuroscience, with both segments gaining market share in growing markets. This isn't just about riding a wave, they're creating it.
The Skyrizi story is fascinating because it shows how a well-positioned drug can dominate even in a competitive landscape. Jeff Stewart, their commercial head, mentioned they have over 4x, basically the in-play share, versus their next competitor. How sustainable is that kind of dominance?
That's the million-dollar question, Alex. They're facing new competition, including an oral competitor that launched recently. But Stewart seemed pretty confident during the Q&A, pointing to their head-to-head trials across 5 different mechanisms in psoriasis, superior durability data, and that convenient quarterly dosing. He even suggested the oral competition might expand the market rather than just steal share.
Speaking of competition, one analyst specifically asked about competitive pressure, and I found Stewart's response really telling. He basically said their audit data shows NBRX new prescriptions, hitting all-time highs despite having incredibly high market share already. That suggests real physician preference, not just early adoption.
Exactly. And they're not just defending Skyrizi, they're expanding it. The subcutaneous induction data for Crohn's disease looked impressive. Dr. Rupal Thacker highlighted that in treatment-naive patients, 61% achieved endoscopic response and 73% achieved clinical remission. Those are some serious numbers.
But here's where it gets really interesting. Their combination strategy. Tell our listeners about this Skyrizi plus alpha 4-beta-7 antibody data.
This is potentially game-changing, Alex. In their platform study, the combination doubled the endoscopic remission rate compared to either drug alone, about 42% of patients at week 24. And remember, this was in severely refractory patients where 82% had failed advanced treatments. Thacker called it potentially transformative efficacy.
The R&D pipeline seems to be the real story here. They're not just maintaining current success, they're building the next generation. What else caught your attention?
Their obesity program is heating up. The early data on ABBV-295, their long-acting amylin analog, showed nearly 10% weight loss in just 12 weeks. In a predominantly male, non-obese population, no less. With a 270-hour half-life, they're talking about potential monthly dosing, which could be huge for patient compliance.
And let's not forget neuroscience. Nearly $2.9 billion in revenue, up over 24%. Vraylar hit $905 million, and their Parkinson's portfolio with Vyalev is tracking toward blockbuster status. They're preparing for tavapadon approval later this year, which could be another significant addition.
What I find strategic is their capital allocation. They announced that $100 billion commitment to U.S. R&D and manufacturing over the next decade, including a $1.4 billion pharmaceutical campus in North Carolina. This isn't just about current products. It's about future manufacturing capacity for immunology, oncology, and obesity therapeutics.
From an investor perspective, what's your take on management's confidence? Robert Michael mentioned they see upside to consensus forecast for Skyrizi and Rinvoq going out every year, with that upside growing annually.
That's a bold statement, Alex. Current consensus has Skyrizi at $33 billion by 2031 and Rinvoq at $16 billion. Michael is essentially saying both will exceed those already substantial estimates. Given their track record and pipeline depth, that confidence seems warranted, but it also raises the bar for execution.
The business development strategy also seems interesting. They mentioned being very willing to pursue external innovation in neuroscience, oncology, and obesity, whether early stage, late stage, or even on-market assets. With their strong cash flow, they have the financial capacity to be opportunistic.
Right, and they've already been active deals with companies like Remegen for their PD-1 VEGF bispecific antibody. They're not just growing organically, they're strategically acquiring capabilities and assets to maintain their competitive moat.
Before we wrap up, any concerns or risks you're watching?
The main risk I see is execution at scale. They're managing multiple major product launches, complex combination therapies, and significant manufacturing investments simultaneously. Success in biotech often comes down to flawless execution, and they're juggling a lot of balls right now.
That's a fair point, but their track record with Humira's transition and current portfolio performance suggests they have the operational capabilities to manage this complexity.
Agreed. Overall, this looks like a company hitting its stride just as its previous blockbuster faces biosimilar competition. The timing couldn't be better.
Well said. For our listeners, remember that everything we've discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
Absolutely. Thanks for tuning in to Beta Finch. We'll be back next time with another AI-powered earnings breakdown.
Until then, keep investing smart, everyone. That's all for today's earnings analysis. If you found this helpful, consider supporting Beta Finch on Patreon. Your support helps us upgrade our voices, cover more companies, and keep this show running. Visit patreon.com/betafinch to learn more. Thanks for listening.